right. It's only a me and Jordan BYU podcast this week, which in some ways might be best for me, as me and Dave have become more increasingly angry. Jordan's like the poor mediator in our group text. But anyways, just Jordan Smith and myself. So I'm glad to have Jordan Smith on the pod for rivalry week.
Thanks, Matt. I'm happy to be here. This is a great week. It's a great game. I'm excited. Even if, you know, BYU has their ups and downs, I get a little rejuvenated right before this game, a little bit more hope, and just the chance to beat these guys just makes me happy. So, go Cougs.
I watched last year's fourth quarter, and it got the juices flowing a little bit. And there was a couple observations I had from that game which aren't really appropriate for this pod, so I'll save it unless it just spills out. But I want to start things off with, I got asked a very interesting question today at work. And I've been thinking about it all day long. And you'll have to react to this after I finish my thought. But someone asked me, so is Zach Wilson the man? And is he going to be the starter next year? And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, well, yes, he is going to be the starter next year, and he's going to be the man for this simple fact. Never mind the fact that he's been good enough. I mean, in my opinion, he hasn't blown me away, but he hasn't been bad. No one can argue that Zach Wilson has been bad. But I was like, yeah, he's going to be the starter unless injury, because the offensive coordinator recruited this guy. This is his guy. There's a longer leash. And I was thinking about all the times – thinking about all the times this manifests itself in my life. And also, I couldn't help but think how it applied to Tanner. And I was like, man, you know, if you really think about Tanner Mangum's career, and this will come back into full circle with his performance in the fourth quarter, but if you think about Tanner's career, he really only had one season in which he was the coaching staff's guy. And even that's a stretch, because if I remember correctly, it was Brandon Doman that recruited Tanner Mangum. Mm-hmm. And then he was gone, and then Robert and I came back. But because of the whole gray shirt mission thing, I kind of count Robert and I as a quasi-recruiter for Tanner Mangum. And so Tanner's freshman year, he's with a group that really wants him. He has a tremendous freshman campaign. I think he had 23 touchdowns and 10 picks. He had over 3,000 yards passing. Looks great. And then Broncos group leaves, and Detmer and Kalani come in, and they bench him. And so he's not really their guy, and he loses the job to Taysom. And then he's not really Grimes' guy either. And, in fact, Grimes' guy is here a lot sooner than most. And so I think that played a part into why they wanted to go to Zach. And I was like, you know, where does this feel familiar? And I remember you still work for this company. We'll leave the company out of it. But I kind of felt like, you know, at one point in my life, I worked for a company that I didn't really want them. They didn't really want me. And when they saw a fit, it was gone and I was bitter and yada, yada, yada. You know, and so I just think that some of Tanner's downfall, because a lot of BYU fans and mostly Utah fans think that Tanner's a bad quarterback. And he may be. I mean, stats don't bear it out to be that he's a great quarterback, but he never had the benefit of the doubt that even Zach Wilson is getting right now, which is a coach's hand-picked Zach Wilson, and he's going to be the guy, and he's going to be given every opportunity. And I just wonder, there's no way to have an answer to this, Jordan. I'm not saying this supports any arguments. I'm just saying I would love to have seen what Tanner Mangum had been if he had been with his group the whole time, because I thought we got a flash of it his freshman year, and it came and it went. And unfortunately, you know, it was great to see him get some playing time. You were with me at the game. I was frustrated that he didn't get more, but when he was there, it was classic Tanner Mangum. There were moments of brilliance, and then there was the interception at the goal line. And so, you know, kind of a interesting, sad, happy story of Tanner Mangum, but it all started with a coworker's question, and that's just the way of life. Is Zach Wilson is going to be given every opportunity to be successful because he is working for the guys that wanted him, and Tanner never really had that opportunity for most of his career. So that was very long-winded, but it's just kind of a interesting thought I had about Tanner Mangum's last game at LaBelle Edwards Stadium, and voila, there you go.
Let's call that segment in honor of Dave with the long-windedness.
You're
Since
right.
Since he's not
sorry.
Here, that was your tribute to Dave. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think you made a lot of great points. I really wonder, you know, you can play the what-if game. But
for
if
sure.
Tanner gets the start over Taysom, which I know that's a hard decision. I think that would have been hard for any coaching staff all the time. And
100%.
That Taysom put in. But I wonder that year if Tanner's given that opportunity. I think we had a pretty good team around him. We had some seniors on defense to kind of, you know, even if the offense struggled, the defense is going to keep us in games with turnovers. And so I wonder, you know, it comes off that freshman season. We played great. If he gets that next year to build, I wonder if his confidence – I think things are different. But I think
for
being
sure.
benched for Taysom and then the following year, it's finally his year. There's really no other quarterback that's going to challenge him, and he gets hurt in the first game, and it just tailspins from there.
Yeah.
On Zach Wilson, I agree with you. I think the only thing that can shorten that leash is if spring and fall another quarterback steps up and keeps that race close. But if Zach is getting all the reps and he's blowing people away, and you know, we have quarterbacks who transfer or just aren't showing up, then yeah, he'll have a long leash. And I feel fairly confident. I mean, I wouldn't bet my 401k on Zach Wilson, but I feel great. I feel like he's got the arm talent. He needs to continue to progress and reading defenses and making better decisions. But overall, he's got the talent. I like his moxie. So going forward, I'm pretty excited to have Zach Wilson, and I'm glad that Tanner got the whole fourth quarter. That was pretty cool. At least they did that. So,
yeah. So, man, there's so many things to touch on there. First and foremost, I would say, it would take a Herculean effort from Jaren Hall to even get in the conversation, because Jaren Hall is not their guy. Jaren Hall was recruited by Ty Detmer. So if it's even a competition, it really speaks volumes to Jaren Hall, because he is kind of already working behind from where Zach Wilson is. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And here's the thing. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying that's the way that it is. You know what I mean? I don't care how you slice it and dice it. You know, like my current job, Vivint picked me. You know what I mean? Like I interviewed for the job and they wanted me. And so they're invested in me, and they give me a lot more opportunity than other jobs I've been to where, you know, obviously there's always an element of employer choice, but there's difference when you want a place and that place wants you, rather than you going to a place you don't really want to be in. Anyway, yada, yada, yada. So I think Zach Wilson is going to be the dude. I would be stunned if he's not the starter after spring, but you know, we'll see what happens. But back to Tanner. This is my thought from the game, the rivalry game last year, and this is maybe a segue into the rivalry game. There were moments in that fourth quarter, and let's all remember that Utah game was the second game of the year. Everyone wants to point the fingers at, oh my gosh, his staff was crap, our offense was crap. That was the second game of the year under a new quarterback. And that fourth quarter, it started to look like we had some things going. And if you watch the final drive, it is heartbreaking to see that there are two first down drops by Hefo and Bo Tanner on that first drive. And so that's, again, to play the what-if game, that offense, it looked like Tanner was starting to get some swag in that Utah game. And if he picks up a first down completion, who knows what happens? You know, there's no guarantee that we win the game, but man, this is coach speak, but you always hear that first down is the hardest one. And it just started to look like that offense was throwing the ball downfield. And here's one more point on that offense versus this offense. In the two final drives, we took numerous shots down the field in that Utah, in that last rivalry game. Way more shots in those final two drives than we've taken in any game this year. And so that offense maybe could have been explosive, but you're right. The injury to Tanner just completely zapped the offense and any chance he had at having a good junior season.
Yeah, that's a great point. Another play in that game, I can't remember exactly when, but we scored a touchdown, but they called an offensive pass interference. And I remember I was at the game, and I looked at the replay. I was like, that was so stupid, but there was no need to do that pick. It was like a pick play type thing.
I remember that, yep.
And it's like stuff like that. It seems like always in almost every Utah game, we shoot ourselves in the foot, especially early. But yeah, those last few drives, that was Tanner was humming the ball, and I mean that was a bad injury. That's a hard injury to come back from, and I think that just zapped the confidence of the whole team, having him go down and really not having a lot of confidence in Hodge or anyone else behind him. So yeah, it's, the what if game kind of stinks for us Cougar fans, because there's so many opportunities we can go back, and if one or two things happen differently, you know, like like 2001, like we're probably the first team to go to a BCS bowl if, you know, certain things don't happen. And
exactly. Yep.
But yeah, it's rough, but I'm looking forward to this game.
Before we get to this game, I lied. I think it's only fitting that we just briefly share a heartfelt message to Tanner Mangum, who will never hear the light of day of this message. But I think one of the reasons I was such a supporter of his, Dave, is it was just more than athletics with Tanner. And it's kind of the same reason I loved Taysom so much. You saw him overcome so much. You wanted him to succeed because it had been so hard. And Taysom succeeded to a larger degree than Tanner, and even more so now in the NFL. But I'm just grateful that Tanner stuck it out at BYU. I think I'll always be a fan of Tanner Mangum. The way he handled himself was – he's one of those players and examples. I mean, you're a parent. I'm not. But I can imagine from a sports perspective having that conversation where you point out Tanner Mangum's career and use that as a life lesson for your own kids in athletics, because it's things did not go his way, and he never pouted about it. And he always worked hard and said the right things. And I'm sure behind the scenes he was really frustrated. There was a Instagram message from him over the weekend, which was – kind of a little bit shade at some of the fans, and good for him. I'm all for it because the fans were ridiculous. Though it was nice to see the fans chant his name in the fourth quarter, but I'm just, I'll always be a Tanner Mangum fan. I don't care what anyone says. I'm glad he played at BYU, and I wish him the best. That's my ode to Tanner Mangum. Grateful for one of my favorite BYU memories of all time is Tanner Mangum with you, Boise State, his freshman year. That's the last memory I have of Lavelle Edwards Stadium being crazy and having a good time. That was 4 years ago. So thanks to Tanner. I'll miss him, and best of luck to Tanner going forward.
Yeah, I'm grateful for Tanner Mangum as well. He brought me a lot of joy. I mean, 2 weeks in a row, I watched the Nebraska game with you at Allen's house, and then we got those crazy tickets in the north end zone right by the speaker. So we went to the top so we could kind of stand and jump around a little bit. And man, we had a perfect view of that pass to Juergens. And
oh, that was amazing.
I mean, those moments are awesome. Those are sports plays you never forget. And yeah, I do have kids, and when they start playing sports, I would definitely use Tanner and Taysom, for that matter, both of them.
Yep.
Examples of, you know, not quitting. And you know, at times you go through adversity in life or in sports or whatever it is, and your attitude towards the obstacle means a lot. So,
yep,
I think he's great. I think he'll succeed in whatever he does, and I'm grateful he was a BYU Cougar.
All right, now let's switch to the rivalry. As you know, as I usually do during the Holy War week, I torture myself with video clips of past losses. So I think this is a good moment to maybe discuss our favorite and least favorite moments of the rivalry. For me, my favorite, hands down, is Beck to Harlene. I was in a household full of Utah fans for that touchdown pass, and it was incredible. And that was another one of those moments where John Beck was really the first BYU quarterback that I developed an interest in. I can't remember many guys before him. Like, he was probably the first quarterback for BYU football that I remember really following, really liking. And he also battled a lot, had a great attitude, you know, went through a coaching change. And that senior year, he was just unbelievable. And to have that game go the way that it did with that final drive, that was just – I'll always remember where I was when Harleen caught that touchdown. That was phenomenal. I'm just sad that I wasn't there for it. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of positives to choose from in our lives from the rivalry, but for me, it's back to Harleen, favorite memory.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I was with you at the Bruder home, and that was fantastic. So,
yep.
Yeah, one of those plays you never forget, the feeling afterward, the jumping, the screaming, the hugging. Is just, and no matter how many times they win, you can just say back to Harleen, and that's, I mean,
yep.
I always will dig at them because they probably should have won that game. They had three different guys that should have sacked him, or one of their best cover guys who ended up playing in the NFL will just leaves Harleen wide open. I mean, that's a sore spot for you fans for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the play that gets played the most, especially, I mean, ESPN will run some highlights and stuff, and that play will get played over and over. My Twitter timeline will be filled with that play this week. So, yeah, there's not much better than that to back to Harleen. That was awesome.
Negative for me is a much harder thing to think of because, as you know, I have attended every single – let me back that up. My first year home for my mission was in 2009, and that was the year that Max Hall beat Utah and went on that epic rant that I fully support. And then I've been to every game since then, Jordan, except I'm not going to this one. I have been to every single loss during the streak. What is it, 7 games?
Yeah, 7 and 8 years.
I have been in both stadiums 7 times in a row. And only one of those was a blowout. I think that was the 54-10, which I love to remind Utah fans of this. That was a competitive football game at the half. I think it was 14-10. And then
yeah,
we got a door blow.
Had a touchdown right before half, yeah.
So, the negatives, I think for me, this is tough because, here's some candidates for least favorite rivalry memory is the field goal block by Brandon Bradley. That was very painful because we shouldn't have even been in that position if it wasn't for the refs. That's what hurts about that is we got an interception to close the game. And then there was a fumble, but Brandon Bradley's knee was down. So I think it was – did I say Brandon Bradley? I mean Burton, whatever. Brandon Burton, whatever the heck his name. Blocks the kick. That one hurts. But I think for me, because I'm kind of a weird sports celebrating. I really wanted the year that the fans ran onto the field –
yeah,
for them to be the reason that Utah lost that game. That one stings to this day. The opportunity we had, that would have been an all-time historic blunder if they run onto the field, we make the kick, and then beat them in overtime. That would have been unbelievable. So that one for me is the most painful.
So I've got 3 candidates. One of them's going to be out of the box. I'll save that one for last. I went to the 54-10 game. That was embarrassing, and it's something that could hold over our heads. I hear it a lot at work. That wasn't very pain. That was the least painful of the 3. And we just, we gave them like 28 points in the second half. Like, it was ridiculous. And then
right.
James, the White Wolf, or whatever his nickname was, he ran all over us, and that was awful.
I like to remember him as the barely average/adequate junior college transfer.
That's accurate. and then the second one I would say was 2016. That was my first trip to Rice-Eccles. Watching
Taysom,
yep. Marched down the field. He scores a touchdown. The U fans are silent. We go for 2, which is what I told you and everyone else with us that, but well before they scored, that if we scored, I wanted them to go for 2. And
I think I was in favor of that too, because I think the Utes went on like a 13-minute drive before that.
Yeah, Moss just ate up like 80 yards, and it seemed like three quarters. But our defense was going to be exhausted. I didn't feel great going into overtime. I wanted that touchdown. I don't mind the play call. I wish there was just another option for him to throw. Anyway, that one hurt pretty bad because it was, being my first game, we were on that side of the field. We were watching that play right before us. And being able to celebrate on their field, that would have been pretty awesome. So the pain of not seeing that, I think, was pretty big. And I don't know where this one falls, but I had to work in 2009, and I missed by George He's Got It when the two U players tackled themselves. And George walked into the end zone. The fact that I was working and I missed that is also very painful to me because that's the last time we won and I didn't even get to witness it live. So I'll go with the 2016 going for two with Taysom.
You know, that 2016 game, it's still an open wound. We forced so many turnovers. We had so many opportunities. And here's an underrated opportunity that we missed out on. A lot of people don't know this, but we parked in Utah Fraternity Row as BYU fans. And as Taysom was making that final drive, we were licking our chops with the opportunity to walk back through Fraternity Row and talk serious shiz to the Utah fans. I was ready to go. And it was taken from us.
Oh, so painful.
That would be one of my, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. That probably would have been one of my top 10 favorite moments as a fan.
Oh yeah.
Walking back through Utah student housing, just as light as a feather, talking all kinds of crap. I'm sad we didn't get to experience that.
I only would have feared for our safety a little bit, though. I mean, the amount of alcohol that was being consumed. I'm not trying to throw you fans in the bus and just throw out. Like, we witnessed a lot of alcohol being drank on our way to the stadium. Good for them, having a good time. But I would have maybe feared for our safety a little bit if we crossed any lines and got a little angry, Maybe a little bit more than alcohol, more than beers thrown on us, you know what I'm saying? But, yes, that would have been fantastic. And that kind of adds to the pain, not only the loss, but the what if, we would have both ran down the stairs to jump on the field if we would have won that game. So,
oh man, that one is painful. And that is also when I loved the coaching staff. It seems like such a distant memory now. Kalani was great in that game. Tons of emotion. There were some bogus targeting calls in that game. That game had it all.
That's the game that Hefo went into probation or jail or whatever the analogy was that you used on him earlier this year. He had the first play, pick six.
That was a precursor of many haunting moments for Hefo in big games. And we really need him in this game to play a big role because – I'm not trying to look forward here on the pod, but maybe this is an appropriate segue to BYU cannot play the kind of football they've been playing the last 5 weeks and even have a chance at winning this football game. We're not going to do it. We can't play smash mouth football against Utah because our offensive line has not been very good the second half of this season, and our defensive line is razor thin with the loss to Corbin Kaufusi. I don't see how we can try and control the line of scrimmage and beat these guys.
No, and we talked about this a little bit at the New Mexico State game. This has to be a different game plan, a game plan specialized for Utah. And that is, if you try to run downhill at their linebackers, Bartman and Hansen will have 20 tackles each, five tackles for losses. I've watched a lot of their games. I'll admit it. I watched Utah games to root against them. And those guys, they anticipate a play, and they get downhill in a hurry. So they've seen our film. They'll know what to look for. If we try to play straightforward, we're going to overpower these guys. We will lose. We have to pull out all the tricks. I'm bringing back the jet sweep, even if it's not super effective. I'm bringing it because there's three or four different options off of that. And I love to get their defense going one way and maybe throw a screen or something off the other side. But, I mean, double passes, and, I mean, all the stops. Maybe an onside kick. We've got to gain a possession or two in some unique ways. And then on defense, I honestly feel like I'm going all out to stop Shine and Shelly. And if Shelly beats with his arm, I'll be okay with that. But I just – talkie-talkie's got to be all over Shine. And we got to bring in some unique blitz packages to get to Shelly, get him early, hit him. It's going to be cold. It's going to be pretty bad weather. We've got to hit that guy early. And it's one of those games where we have a chance to win if several things go our way. If, you know, a few things don't, then if we can't outrush them, we're probably going to lose. If the turnover margin is in their favor, we're probably going to lose. Position. There's like so many things really have to go our way. We truly are the underdogs here, but there's a chance. This is a weird game, and I've got my hopes up, unfortunately.
I got to correct your English a little bit. If we lose the turnover battle, we will lose the game. I'll probably lose the game. We will straight up lose the game. And I'm okay with one regular jet sweep, and that is it. Because I think that Utah has shown over the years that they do a tremendous job at taking away our number one option. And that's one of our primary plays. So I'm going to allow one jet sweep as a fan. I won't say anything if we get tackled for loss. But after that, you're absolutely right. It's all going to be decoy after that. It's got to be bring the sweep from left to right and run a screen the other direction with Katoa. Or, you know, have a fake sweep, run the option the other way. Or I think this game, throw out the – man, how do I say this? Zach Wilson is a dual threat quarterback. And ideally, we have had this conversation 4 years, especially during all of Taysom's tenure. You want to keep quarterback design runs to a minimum, right? You only want to expose him to 5 to 10 quarterback design runs. And ideally, you want him to have a pass play. And then if that breaks down, that's an option, the quarterback run. Throw that out the window for this game. I'm looking for 15 to 20 quarterback runs from Zach Wilson. He's an athlete. You've got to get him out in space. I think that's one of our best opportunities to neutralize those linebackers is just throwing Bakary and Katoa, and they lead block, and you do draws, you do sweeps, you do options. I don't know. I want to see Zach Wilson heavily involved in the run game in this game.
I couldn't agree more. I think that's one of their – I don't know if you can call it a weakness, but they tend to give up more yards to mobile quarterbacks. If they're a guy's kind of standing in the pocket, they kind of tee off and – they'll get all sorts of sacks and forced fumbles. So, yeah, I agree. Wilson throws a good ball, but he's a great athlete. So let's use everything he's got.
Let's use it.
Any advantage we've got, we've got to take it.
Speaking of Wilson, I think you're a little bit more of a fan of his than mine. And I wonder why. That's probably not appropriate for this podcast. But I have you read some of his quotes? I love some of the stuff that he said about Utah this week. It's been fantastic.
I haven't. I will have to look into that. I just like how competitive he is.
Right.
We were on the BYU sideline, not on the sideline, but on that side of the field for this last game. And anytime he makes a mistake, I like the fire he has when he's playing well. He gets pumped. When he makes a mistake, he wants to do better. And I really like his arm, and I kind of thought of him as just a running quarterback, but when he kind of showed more than that, that's when I started to get a little more excited. Like, no, this guy, and there's a pass to Bushman in the last game. I don't care who you're playing against. Where he put that ball was, I mean, perfect. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. Bushman's running the seam route, and he's got a defender on his right, and Wilson puts it right on his left shoulder. And so, you know, Bushman just turns to his left, catches the ball, runs upfield, and trips. Like, the plays like that get me really excited. And I know that with the full spring and fall, that they can tune up some of their mistakes. But, yeah, I'm way excited. I think, like, he's going to really want to play well this game because Utah overlooked him. They thought that Tuttle was the guy. They, I mean, pretty much just stopped recruiting Wilson, and that's where he wanted to go. And he's going to really want to show them what they're missing out. And I like that. And it may result in a loss. He may turn the ball over a few times, but I know that he's going to want to go.
And I would much rather have a loss where, you know, weather permitting, I don't think there's going to be a blowout. Spoiler alert, my prediction right. for the game is 20-10 Utah. I was 2-0 last week. I was the only one on the pod to go undefeated in my picks a week ago. It's not saying much because only one of them was a coin flip, but shame on you guys for picking Colorado. There was no chance Colorado was going to win that game. None.
I didn't know it was going to snow. If I would have known the weather, I might have gone a little bit more towards Utah. But yes, I was wrong. Where Jordan was wrong, picked Colorado, and a few weeks ago, I picked Utah State to lose to BYU. So the recurring theme of where Jordan was wrong, Utah State, and this week, Colorado.
It's my favorite segment of the show, where Jordan was wrong. But so I think it's going to be
– Matt.
What?
You may like gawk at this a little bit, but Zach Wilson – is the most Max Hollian quarterback we've had since Max Hall. And I'm not talking about on the field. I'm talking about charisma, attitude. He's that guy that's going to – if we win this game, he's going to be at that podium, like, just rubbing it into Utah. That's one reason I feel like you should like him more, because he has the attitude of a Max Hall.
Well, let me read some quotes from the article, and to give fair credit, I'm referencing a Deseret News article written by Jeff Call, published on November 20th, 2018. It's titled BYU's True Freshman Quarterback Zach Wilson Eager to Face Team He Grew Up Cheering For. Here's just a couple selections from Zach Wilson. Quote, "It's a great opportunity overall. It's all the emotions and everything flying around. The opportunity to play against a team that you grew up loving is going to be so much fun. Playing for BYU, I'm all BYU. I separate my childhood dreams of the team I wanted to win, and now it's almost two different outlooks." So I love that there's a little shot there where it's like, I'm all BYU, Utah, forget about them. Big fan. Another one. Zach Wilson was in – he wasn't in the stadium, but he watched the Beck to Harlene. Quote, "I didn't get to go to the game, but I watched it. I remember when John Beck had that throwback pass. That was cool. At the time, I didn't think it was very cool, but now I think it's cool." Here is another one. This is kind of an interesting one. He has obviously attended many games there throughout his it's not his career, but he's attended many games there as a fan. And he says, "The environment's awesome. I've always loved going to their home games. I've been to so many of them. I think I'm going to be comfortable in that stadium," which is actually an interesting point, is that he really probably won't be fazed by the moment because he's played high school games there and attended many games there. He's probably going to feel right at home, which is interesting. And then lastly, just this season, he went to the Utah-USC game, and he went with his uncle season tickets, and he wore a BYU shirt. So I thought that was great, too.
That's awesome. Love that guy. Come on, Matt. There's room on the bandwagon. Just jump on board. Let's go.
I am reserving. I'm on the platform. I'm holding on to the train stairway, and if a win over Utah – then I'll get on the Zach Wilson bandwagon 100%. And that's as far as I'm going. I'm not going any farther, but I will wholeheartedly be on the Zach Wilson train. He's saying all the right things, and you're probably right. He does have a little more juice to them than Taysom and Tanner did. I love Taysom and Tanner, but they were pretty businesslike, stoic dudes, and that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, let's end with
juices are full, and now I'm ready. Let's go. Let's play tonight. Let's do this. I'm ready.
Last question, and then we'll wrap it up so you can take a test and spend some family time. The question is offense and defense. One player you expect to have a breakout game and have play a large impact in a potential BYU victory.
Ooh, okay. I think the obvious answers are Taki Taki and Wilson. I'm going to go away from that. I'm going to go with Michael Shelton on defense.
Whoa.
I feel like he's played pretty well as of late. And I'm feeling a turnover or two from him. He's got, for some reason, I feel like he's being more and more of a ball hawk. And Shelly likes to throw the ball, and he likes to throw the ball deep. And I'm looking for Shelton to take a few of those away and flip some field position and put us in a great chance to score. And off offense, I think it's going to be someone in the running game. I'm going to pick Katoa. He showed a lot against the worst rush defense in the nation. But I like his speed, and I like the fact that he's an every down type of back. I like that he can catch passes, and he can get you those 2, 3, 4 yards if needed. So I'm going to go with Katoa and Michael Shelton as my key players on offense and defense. If those two have big games where I truly believe we're winning.
Wow. A different direction. I'm going to go with Matt Bushman, the tight end. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that Matt Bushman and Dallin Holker had more completions / attempts from Zach Wilson in the last game than all the wide receivers combined. I think there was a concerted effort to get the ball to the tight end last week, which I'm all for. I've been trying to say that all week. I think Bushman is an NFL talent, and you know, I'm not quite there on Holker yet, but he has shown some big play capabilities. And I think there might be, to piggyback up a point you've made, I think there might be an opportunity with the aggressive nature of Hansen and Barton to maybe hit them down the middle. So I'm looking for Matt Bushman to have a big game, hopefully in the neighborhood of 6 receptions, 90 yards, and a TD. And defensively, I'm going with Kyrus Tonga because we need him to ball out. We are thin on the defensive line. We need him to gobble up double teams and make it difficult on Shine. So I'm looking at Bushman and Tonga.
I like the Bushman pick, especially if we can establish even a small amount of a running game. Blair, Hanson, and Barton are all going to be coming up to that line. You're going to have one-on-one with, I think, I think the worst part of their defense is their secondary, other than Blair. Blair's great.
Yep.
I think he's a hard hitter. So if you suck up Blair and Hanson and Barton are coming downhill, and you can get a little play action with Bushman in the seam, I think that's a great pick. And, yeah, Tonga's got to play well, and I think he'll be psyched up for this game. He seems to kind of gear it up or down depending on the opponent. It's like maybe he thinks NFL guys are watching him in certain games or something.
Right.
So I would expect a big game. I think those are great picks, man.
Last thing for me, and then if you have any final comments, you can make them. I actually, and I don't like Kyle Whittingham, but tip of the cap to Kyle in his press conference this week saying that he's not sitting anybody, that this game still matters, that, you know, we're not going to sit people to be healthy for the Pac-12 championship game. I'm not a fan of Kyle. I think he's been pretty disparaging towards BYU at his Utah tenure, considering he freaking graduated from there. Like, you'd think there'd be a little more, I don't know, love's not the right word, but you think there'd be a little more respect coming from him, and there hasn't been until Kalani became the coach. But I like that he said, forget the fact that we've clinched the South, like, we're not sitting anybody. So, because he very well could, and a lot of people thought that he should, but he's not, and I think that's cool. So that's my final thought. I hope they lose. I'm rooting for BYU. I think Utah wins. I hate to say that, but I won't be rooting for Utah, obviously.
24-21, go Cougars. Southam hits a game-winning field goal as time expires. You hear it here first.
It's going to make me sick if you're right and we're not there. We haven't had a game-winning kick in who knows how long. A couple of years. That would be crazy.
I know I'm just being a BYU fan with my blue goggles, and Utah's, I think, almost 14-point favorites. We are the underdog, but this is a weird game. The weather's going to be cold and weird. I'm thinking something weird can happen, Matt. So I'm thinking, like I said, 24-21.
All right.
That 24 number rings true. When we hold teams below that number and we get to that number, we win. That's what I'm going off of.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And I hope next week is just a podcast for the ages with BYU snapping the streak.
Go Cougs. Thanks, Matt.